This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is lesson 14 of Equine Clicker 101 podcast on the Horse Radio Network, Trailer Loading Part 2. Equine Clicker 101 is a podcast that takes you to the class to learn and practice clicker training for your horse. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible. And they're awesome.
One of the roadblocks to effective training is often a stressed gut. A horse in pain or worried about his digestion cannot give you his full attention.
We travel the country teaching clinics, so we know what stress does to a horse. That's why we were so impressed by Triple Crown's specialized forages.
If you have a horse who struggles with ulcers or goes off feed when traveling, look for stress-free forage. It's an alfalfa-based chopped supplement. It's fortified to specifically support a healthy gut.
And for our sensitive horses, the metabolic horse, the laminitic horse, or those with poor teeth, Safe Starch Forage is a complete low NSC diet featuring vitamins, minerals, and the revolutionary Equimix technology for digestive support.
Triple Crown gives you the research-backed tools to address your horse's unique needs.
Give your horse the comfort and consistency he needs to thrive. Ask your dealer about Triple Crown forages today.
This is Shauna Karish, and in today's episode, what we're going to do is we're going to carry on from our last lesson, which was Trailer Loading Part 1, and we're going to move into kind of closing in on the trailer. So that's what we're going to work on today and doing the things we can do to help our horses be comfortable with this.
Ready to stop wishing for a better relationship with your horse and start actually building one?
The Shauna Karish Equine Membership is your direct line to over six decades of combined world-class training experience. From the science of positive reinforcement to the reality of the show ring, and everything in between.
Get all of our courses, video content, and a clear path for training, whether you're starting a green horse or taking your current partner to the next level under saddle.
Join us for monthly live Q&As, connect with our supportive community, and listen to our exclusive weekly podcast for frank discussions and solutions to your toughest questions.
Stop waiting. Get the guidance that truly works.
If you would like to explore the vast library of positive reinforcement resources, including in-depth courses, please gallop over to shaunakarish.com.
Okay, it's lesson time. We are in class and learning about Trailer Loading Part 2. Now remember, if you haven't listened to Part 1, it's kind of important. That's why this is Part 2 and that's Part 1. So it is your prerequisite to go back and listen to and practice the exercises that are part of episode or lesson 13 that was the previous episode. Also, in addition to that, I reiterate this in the first one, the part one, but going to the earliest lessons are really, really important. That definitely is a prerequisite. If your horse doesn't know the target and he doesn't know the trailer or the target and the clicker, and he hasn't really done some of this training, then it really is going to behoove you to go back and get these pieces solid. These are parts that really help with communication as well as motivation. So go back and have a listen to the earliest lessons, and like 1, 2, 3, 4 are probably going to be really helpful. And then be sure to listen to lesson 13, and then you can come back and visit us here if you haven't done that already. Okay. But for a lot of you, you have done your exercise and your homework from the last lesson. So now what we're going to do, hopefully your homework went really well and your horse is actually comfortable stepping all the way into the trailer and even touching the stationary target up as far as it can go. So if you have mounted a stationary target inside your trailer, which I think is a great idea, if you can do that somehow, that hopefully your horse is going up and touching that and is comfortable staying and eating in the trailer. So hopefully that's a progress you made. So the horse is there, they're eating comfortably. And remember, this is for every single lesson we do. If your horse stops eating, typically my first worry is that is them being over threshold. When horses are nervous, they will choose not to eat. So it's not necessarily a satiation thing where they're not hungry, it oftentimes means that they are over threshold. Now, sometimes it's just a blip on the screen. Something startled them and they stop. And for a moment, they have to get their adrenaline back down. You can even take them back out and say, let's walk around a bit and make sure that they're eating. And if they are eating outside, then bring them back in and see if we can't get back on track. If not, again, it means maybe you need to take a step back and remind them, you know, take those steps and build on those building blocks again to get there again. Okay, so now if your horse, I'm going with Pito, who's the guy I've been working with, and I've got it where he can go right up, he can go in, we walk up together, I duck under the chest bar, and I can point out the stationary target, and he goes to it. And so he goes and he touches that, and in fact, when I kind of pop up out from under the manger, you know, it's kind of awkward, the front of the trailer when you have a manger there. He's already going to the stationary target. So he knows now what is coming next. And he's kind of there when I kind of duck under and stand back up. So that's good. That means he's really comfortable. He knows what to do. He knows this is an opportunity for reinforcement. So we're in a really good place. So now what I'm going to do is instead this time, I'm going to start off and we're going to kind of remind them where we are. And then what we're going to do is build up to trying to get them to go past us. Because ideally what I want from Pito or from any horse learning to load, again, everybody's trailer is different. But for this trailer, I want him to load up in, me be able to close that butt bar and him stay. And then me go up and be able to feed him and then hook him up. You know, and so that's what I want ultimately to be on the reverse order. When I get someplace, I want to be, you know, let's say I'm ready to unload. I want to be able to unhook him, go around, unhook the butt bar, go run back up and feed him and have him wait there. That he knows part of this exercise is to wait in the front until I come back up there and walk him out. So this is really an important part, and it is an important piece of it. And this is where that if you can have that either a manger or you have something, a hay net, or you can hang something that they can really be eating a bunch up there in the front. Sometimes you can get those over the fence buckets that can hang. And so that they learn, this is kind of a stationing place. I stay here. This is where the human comes and feeds me. So that they just learn, she's coming back here. I'm just going to wait here. I talk about this in a lot, actually, that there was a time working at the Dolphin Lagoon, and that was a natural lagoon, and we had catwalks that are wooden catwalks, and we had a place we'd make food out there. Well, pretty soon we had a pelican coming around, and he kind of became a little mascot. We called him Smash Beak, and then because he clearly had some accident with his beak, and then pretty soon he invited his friends, and we had like 24 of his friends were there with him. And it was impossible to make the food for the dolphin sessions because you have these giant pelicans snapping at your hands trying to get the fish. So I said, okay, we got to stop this. So what I did is we started feeding the pelicans on a hill over across the way. So I just take a handful of smelt and throw them over on the hill. Well, they would all scramble over there. They didn't fly. They kind of ran over there. I mean, they did float normally, but they decided to run to the hill. So they'd all scramble over there. And pretty soon, within a day, all 24 of those pelicans were sitting on the hill just watching and waiting because they knew this is where the food happens. So this is where I'm going to stay. Now, these pelicans had no other training. So it's not like they were, you know, we trained them to do this, but we did condition it. We essentially trained it by simply teaching them, this is where the food is going to come now. So it was where they learned to stand. We want that with our horses, where they just learn, I'm just staying up here in the manger because this is where she's going to do most all of the feeding for this behavior. So that part's really important if you can get there. Okay. So that's what we're going to work on with the, I talked a little bit again. I'm going to remind you, and hopefully I forgot to put this in your exercise. Be sure you go slow about this foot on, foot off, foot on, foot off, 2 feet on, 2 feet off, 3 feet on, 3 feet off. So that exercise in itself becomes quite a skill and easy to do. I find it's really important for both the step up on the ramp, but backing out of any trailer, but the step up is particularly a challenge. So you want to be sure that part really got woven into your exercise. Also with the, we didn't get far enough along with Pito that I was actually having him get in, But during the exercise, I realized I didn't really cover that enough. So take those steps and get them to do that. And we also started at a gradient where it's more the gradual. And so sometimes then I get to work towards a more natural gradient. But I really find the step up is the one that can be the most disconcerting for a lot of horses. So really making sure they have that skill down. Anyway, okay. Then next, what we're going to do is we want them to get into the trailer where they will go past us and they can go up to hold on the target. So one of the things I'm going to do a lot of times is I'm going to run when they're up there. I'm going to not click. I'm going to run around. I'm going to be on the side where the door is open and where they are. And I'm going to run around, come up there, click and feed and feed and feed and feed. And then I'll go to the back again. And then I'm going to come up again, click and feed and feed and feed. I'm feeding enough that they are going to stay there because they're not going to run out of food. But I want to get them used to the human, the lady comes back up here and feeds. So I'm going to start doing that from outside of the ramp. So that is where we want to do is getting them to go past us. Now, we may have to start where we're in with them a little bit, where we are partway in, but looking for them to go past us. Up until now, we have been front and center with them. But during training of the stationary target, way back in one of the earlier lessons, I don't remember if it was maybe 4 that we worked on that, but going to the stationary target, check lesson 4, that might be where it was. But we taught them to go past us, to go to the stationary target. So they do understand this concept, but within this context, they may not get that because they're like, we've done it like this, we've done it like this. So as we shift this, let's not take it for granted that they should know this. Let's understand that we may need to help them out so we can get up there with them if we need to be up on that part, since the door is still ajar. If we can get up and kind of point it out a little bit closer, and then from a little further away to a little further away, where we come up and feed it while they're in, and then finally getting to the ramp where we can run around to the outside and do it. So that may be hard to picture, but I think as you start doing it, it's not quite as hard to picture. Now, let's say we have a slant load. So my criteria for when I'm teaching a slant load is I want to teach them when I point them in, they go in. I'm going to come in and shut the door, shut the divider. And then what I'm going to do is come out and run around and then go feed them in their manger. So again, it's kind of the same sort of thing we're working towards. It's just a little bit of a different, it's a little more time, frankly. And I, on the opposite side of that, I want it when I open that door, they stay there and then we come around and they will stay there. I can run around, go feed, 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 and then I come back in and lead them out. So they learn to wait there until they're let out, whether it's a slant load or a straight load. With the slant load, I find it's easier to work with 2 people oftentimes in the beginning, the earliest stages, because there can be somebody there that can buy you a little bit more time. When with the 2 horse, it's easy to get around. It's quicker process and you're more in proximity. But with the straight load, you kind of have, especially if it's like a 4 horse or 6 horse, you've got a ways to get around. So sending them to a person can be a great way to go. So that's just kind of food for thought. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to work on the getting them where we can hopefully close the ramp today, or close the divider today, so that we can get them comfortable with that. Once we have, but I'm going to talk you through the next part, because this is still, there's still more pieces to this puzzle that can be quite challenging. And one is closing up the door. As you close things up, we take the brightness away. You know, we've made it feel rather open and inviting and not closed and not. So work on one little piece at a time. And remember, safety is always paramount. So be sure that they're, if you go to start wanting to move that back ramp up and down, be sure that they're really under threshold. This is a time that even though I may have the windows open as we're doing the loading when they can get out, at this point in time, I put the little bars up. I want to be sure that I'm thinking of safety first. I make sure there's a divider between you know, me in the front. So they can't be thinking they're just going to scoot out the front. But really, when we're paying attention to threshold and being sure that they're relaxed and confident, that all these little pieces are good, we shouldn't get to that place. But, you know, we've all been in those situations where like, I'm keeping you below threshold, we're all calm, we're all good. And poof, all of a sudden you're way over threshold and you didn't see it coming out of anywhere. So knowing that those times can happen, as much as we struggle to avoid them, they can happen. So always think of the safety as you're kind of moving into these next elements, because this part does contain its confinement, you know, and the confinement is oftentimes what can be worrisome. You know, a horse who's worried, also one of the things they can do sometimes is go grain or pick up grain or go graze. And it looks very casual and relaxed. It looks rather aloof, but it can be of an avoidance behavior. So it's important to keep that in mind, that sometimes that is actually telling you, I'm more nervous than you might let on. So, okie dokie. So that's where we're going to start today. And then the next component, after we can get them closed up, which I'm not really going to worry about the ramp today. I'm just going to worry about the divider today. But it's going to be the same process where you lift it a little, put it down. Can you jiggle the pieces? Can you lift it up, put it down? Lift it up, put it down. If that's good, you can run up and feed. You'll leave it there. And then we're going to move on to the next element after that is going to be moving. And if you can, if you have a trailer that is safe to do this, I would do the first little moving things with you in the trailer, but in a separate section. So if it is a slant load, sometimes it has a little running board that you can stand on. So you can be at the window while somebody else drives 3 feet. And you can click and reinforce them for relaxing with that. You can have them target during the movement. So that's great. Sometimes as you get to bigger movement, I will sometimes be in another stall in a slant load, but I make sure that I've got a safe divider between us. So if something does happen, that I can be in a safe place, because technically it is illegal to drive with your horse in the trailer, but I have done it because it tells me a lot. So, but you can do it on your farm. Just have somebody, and you can have your phone on so you can be talking to the person who's driving. So you can say, stop, go, you know, without having to yell and scream, but you can tell them, you know, stop, go again, stop a bit, slow a bit. So you can move just little bits in reaction to your horse and what you're seeing. And then that part is really important. And then the follow up to that. So, and then if you have a two horse, you can sometimes be on the other side. So you're not right at the chest bar right in front of them. That if feet start flying, you can be really in a bad place. But maybe you can be on the other side of the chest bar, or you can be outside of a tack room window. Or I mean, a tack room. Well, sometimes you can be in the tack room itself, actually. But sometimes you can have a, you know, you have a drop window in the man door up there at the front. So think of different ways, but be sure you're keeping yourself really safe. You don't want to be taking chances, because again, this is a place where they can go over threshold and worry. And then the next part, we're actually going to talk more about this in the following lesson, is we're going to talk more about what do we do when we get to a strange place. This is going to be a desensitization process, but a lot of times part of trailer loading and the scary part of trailer loading is landing in the new place and getting out with all this too much stuff going on, and it's scary, and where are my friends, and I'm by myself, and where's my human, and are you leaving, and all those pieces. So we're going to talk more about that in the next episode, but we're going to talk beyond just that. We're going to talk about just some general desensitization work. But for today, we're going to work on that closing up the divider, getting them to go ahead of us and closing up the divider. But again, by now, they should all be pretty comfortable with all this part. There shouldn't be worry and concern, and we'll see kind of how we go from there. Okie dokie. So I think that's great. What I want you to do is I want you to turn off your podcast in a minute. I want you to get your trailer to that safe place, wherever it is you've been working at it. That's where I suggest you work at it again. You can try it other places later, but for now, we want to continue to work at liberty. So the halter and lead rope will come later after they're showing us that they've really got this part worked out and they're really comfortable. So for now, we want to keep that at your liberty arena or wherever you can work them, if you can work them at liberty, actually, I should say. And let's get to that place. Get yourself your target, get your clickers, get your targets in your cones, see that your stationary target is mounted, and get lots of food. And then, of course, get your horse. And then we'll get back together and we'll carry on with our lap time. Talk to you in a minute.
I had horses struggling with their health. Shelly hooves, sensitive feet, and a worrisome metabolic state. Despite my best efforts to improve their diet, I felt like I was still missing a key solution.
After doing a deep dive into nutrition, Jesse and I learned that even with quality feed, the form of the mineral matters most. Many supplements are traditional mineral sources that have lower bioavailability, which means a horse's body can struggle to use them efficiently.
Kiss Trace uses the highest quality minerals for superior absorption. Within a few months, a transformation began to happen. My horses became sound, I noticed them starting to play more because they felt good, and their coats became brilliant and shiny.
Kiss Trace is a family-created product built on passion for quality. Jesse and I have been feeding it for years with great results, and that's why we love it so much. Give your horses the nutritional foundation they need for optimal health. Find Kiss Trace at thornybottomfarm.com. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, bottomfarm.com.
Okie dokie, welcome back. Now, we are, as I mentioned, and you know from the previous exercise, I'm working with Pito. Pito is in a good place. He's comfortable. He goes in and he's comfortable. And again, I'm working in the Liberty paddock and I have the two horse straight load trailer with the ramp and a man door out the front, just setting the scene, as it were. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take him in and we're walking over to the trailer now because it's kind of a big Liberty paddock. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to remind him where we've been successful so far. So going up and pointing out the stationary target, but I'm going up with him because this is what we've done and this is where we've got. I'm going to go up and I duck under the bar and here we go. We're actually to the ramp. And he stomps right up with me. And he is very good. Could you target? And I kind of said it as I ducked under. But when I come up target, good boy. There he is. He's right there already. And I'm going to click and I'm dumping handfuls of feed in his manger right now. So I kind of gave him a couple handfuls. And right now, like I said, I want the manger to be what's feeding him more than my hands. So he thinks, stay at this manger. The manger is my friend. The feed bucket is my friend, whatever it is. And I also will, at this point now, I've hung a hay net. So he also has a hay net here that he can eat on if for some reason he wants to chew on hay too. So it's just kind of getting him to think if the food runs out, there's still hay. This is a dining station. It's a buffet. Okay, so that's great. I'm going to ask him to back out with me. So, Pito, back out. Good boy. Good boy. Okay, nice. And I got reinforcing for that. I've been reinforcing him much more for going in than out, but walking out and waiting is also quite nice. So I reinforced him for that part. Okay, so now what I'm going to do, this time I'm going to shift it a bit. I have my... He is loading on the passenger side, essentially. So the door opens towards the driver's side. And my open door is on the passenger side. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of walk up with him from the driver's side, going into where it's still wide because the divider is open. And I'm going to give him a point. So Pito, and what I do is I give him a point, I kind of take a step forward, which kind of makes him feel like we're both going forward, but then hopefully he can carry on with the target. So it's kind of like a relay race with a baton. I'm passing him on to the target. So they step up. Okay, Pito, ready? Let's go. Okay, target. Target. Excellent. Click and good. So what I did is I gave him a step. I was probably 3 feet back because it starts to get a little closer there. So I was about 3 feet back and he kind of stopped with me because he's so good at liberty leading. So I kind of needed to take, I kind of lunged forward, not lunged, that sounds very active. I just stepped forward again on my foot to kind of give me a little more reach and a little bit more propulsion forward. So he, and then he went to it. So that was great. And I fed him. I still threw the food up in the manger, but I kind of chucked it up there because I still want him to be up there, but he's not ready for me to run around yet. So I need to kind of keep having him think, I got to click, I'm looking to the manger. I got to click, I'm looking to the manger in this setting. So that was great. Okay, Pito, let's back up. Good. Now, I didn't back him all the way down because we don't even need to. And one of the things I love the horses being able to stop on the ramp, whether it's coming or going. I want them to not be scooting off of it. I want them to be able to stop right there. Wherever I say, whoa, they just stop. So if their feet, one foot's on the ramp, one foot's on the ground, whatever, they can stop with me. So I stopped him halfway, and now I'm going to give him a point again. And wait, before I point him, good boy. I'm going to click and feed him right there. Through. Okay, I threw it up in the manger, and he actually went up to it without me. So that was actually bonus. But what I was thinking about is that the, now what was I thinking about? Oh, so if you have troubles with your horse going too fast up and down the ramp, that probably is a fear thing a little bit. But by now, it might not be so much fear as just habit. Use the target, a handheld target, and slow it down a little bit. And use part of that liberty leading exercise, which is the second lesson that we did. Use some of that liberty leading where you stop, they stop. They stop, you back up, they back up, so that we kind of can slow it down a little bit. So if that is a problem for you, let's get there. Okay, back to Pito, who's good. Okay, let's back up, Pito. So now, so we're halfway again, and we're just going to stop for a second. I'm going to slow it down and just have him stand and give him a handful for just standing with me. Because remember, what we want later is him not to scoot off the ramp, not to scoot to get back there. We want him to stick with us and wait. So I'm just going to feed him a handful or two here and make sure that his that he's just keeping his head to himself and that his energy is nice and relaxed. Again, this goes back to even the clicker conditioning part, the classically conditioning the clicker. We built in some relaxation with this behavior of keeping your head to yourself. So kind of making sure I'm keeping adrenaline low. Okay, now I did have that little bonus where I threw the food up and he just went up there. So I'm thinking I'm getting a little, that was good information for me to have. Okay, so now I'm not going to go up. Now that he feels rather fluid with this, I'm not going up quite as far. I'm going to stay back an extra foot. So I'm kind of probably 4 feet away now. So let's see. Okay, but I'm going to walk the couple feet up and then give him that fluid point with a step forward to help encourage that forward momentum. So let's go. Okay, Pito, ready? Target. Excellent. That was great. So I'm scooting up and I'm scooting up right next to him, scooching up by his head so I can, I threw three handfuls in his big handfuls into his manger. So I want him again to learn to stay there, but that was really good. He went up there, and what was even great, when I clicked, I felt like he was waiting there. You know, sometimes they're going to come right, they start to back out with me, and that's okay. I just still run up and put it in the manger. But at that point, I felt like he actually looked like, and service, madame. So it was good because he waited there. He knew I was going to come up there. And that's really good because you don't always get that right away. So if your horse, he's eating because he's got a few in there. So if your horse backs up, then that's okay. You just keep going forward and tossing into that manger. He'll get the idea that it's coming in the manger. Okay. So now that he did well with that, now you may need to practice that a couple times. But I'm feeling pretty good about him. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go. So I'm backing him all the way out now. So we're backing all the way down that ramp. And that's good. And as we're at the bottom of the ramp, I just stopped. He's facing me. I'm click and fed. I'm feeding him just for standing right there. Because I want, when he unloads and the world's all around him, I'm his focus, not who's running in the paddock next to me and who's this. I want him to just think, yep, we're still together. So that was excellent. Now this time I'm going to be leading him up. So I'm taking kind of a circle. Alrighty. So this time I'm going to send him from the driver's side still. And I'm going to be kind of more off the ramp than on the ramp and see if that is too much. It might be, but we'll give it a shot. I can always step a step forward or two. Okay, so we did big circle and we're coming, approaching, and okay, and target. Excellent. That was good. And now I'm going up to feed him. So I clicked him. And what was good, he stopped for a minute. He looked at me like, are you coming? And this is really hard for people, but I gave him a moment to make a decision. I thought, what are you going to do with this? And he looked at me for a minute and then he moved forward. He said, okay, I'm going. He carried on, like he stopped and he thought, and he made a great decision. I actually clicked that decision before he even got to the target, because as soon as I saw him looking at me and hesitating and then think, I'm going forward. I love that, because that was him choosing to go up to the target. So I love that thought process and that decision. And it's important to catch those moments if you can. We'll get back to moving the click back up towards the actually what we want, but that decision was really important. So I ran up and fed him a couple handfuls in there again. Now I'm gonna practice that same exact side again to kind of strengthen that and be sure that was getting more solid, not less solid. He could do the same thing again, but if I see him fluidly going there, then we'll move to the other side. Okay, you done? Not yet. Hang on. He's licking. Just licking the manger now. Okay. And what I have is those mangers that are kind of plastic and hang, so they're quite easy to rinse out. Anyway, so let's go. Let's back up. Good boy. And now I'm going to walk. We're back down now, and I'm going to switch to the other side, and we're going to do our liberty leading in this little circle, and that's great. And he's right with me. He's focused. And ready? Target. Excellent. And click and feed. So I fed him again, and I'm going to feed him again even. So that was really good. I'm feeding him a lot for this, of course, because I feed a lot anyway. So what he's learning, and this is great. I love this. This is a fun exercise. But he went without hesitation, and I was actually more on the ground than the first time. So that was good. He got it. He's really with me in this training process. And this is what happens when they get stronger with the training. They get to be better problem solvers and they get to enjoying the game. So if your horse is newer to it, it may need more help, or if your horse is more worried about this, they may need more help. But when they get better and better at it, you'll start to feel a change in them and their tension and focus. So Pito is doing amazing, frankly. I'm quite pleased with his progress. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the other side. So I'm going to bring him back out and we're going to walk around and I'm going to go back to that other side again. So I'm going to bring him up, and this time I'm sending him with me on the passenger side, which is the side he's loading on, which keeps me closest to the door, the man door. So I'm going to point him up when I get there, and then I'm going to try to run up there and get there and feed him before he decides to get out and wonders where I went. But remember, even in our exercises, I was kind of stepping out. You could be stepping out a little bit and stepping back up and stepping. So he gets the idea that you're not right there. But we'll just see how this goes. This is still shifting the context pretty good. Okay. Ready, Pito? And target. Good. And I'm just... Okay, good. Excellent. So there, that's a good boy. And I just hopped right up in and I clicked as soon as I saw his eye when I was in the front and he saw me, and I went ahead and fed. He was backing out a little bit, but once he saw me, he came back up to me. So that was really, really important. And I have to be honest, I tried to sneak off a little, like I tried to quietly dip in and get back up there, and it really kind of worked with him. So that was pretty good. So that was great. But like I said, he started, because I think as he heard the click, he kind of thought, but where is my human? He just wasn't sure. And then I think when he kind of saw me jump up there, he stayed with me. So that was really, really good. I fed him a bunch there, of course. Now we're going to do this again. And I think we're going to even, we're going to save the, all of the, I think he's just not ready yet. He's still eating. So while he's eating, I'm chatting. But while I think it's, I don't feel comfortable enough to right now go into moving the divider. I think he just needs more time at this stage. So we will talk about getting there later. We'll talk about it in the exercises too. But I think I'm going to do one more of these, and if this is good, I'm going to leave it there. You know what? Never say one more time, because that's like a death sentence in training. Okay, but one more time. So I'm going to ask him to back out again. So I'm ducking under the bar and walking with him to back out. So I want that to be something I initiate and escort him with, so he gets used to that. And that was great. And I fed him for that. And now we're going to take another loop, and I'm going to send him from the same side again. So we're kind of walking kind of a biggish circle. I want him to come straight. So I got to do a circle big enough that I feel like he's coming straight with me onto the trailer so he can load straight. So that's perfect. Okay, Pito, target. And I'm going up to the front. Excellent. And I click, and I'm feeding, and I'm going to feed a jackpot in here, because that was fantastic. He did really good. I want to make a big impression. I want him to think this was the best thing ever, and this is where he wants to be. And so I want, and again, feeding it in that manger. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to leave that there. I think good progress with that. Out belaboring the point and asking too much and turning it into a grind. You know? So tidy up. Once you're all done, you come meet me back here. We'll talk about a little wrap up, and we'll get some homework for the next couple weeks. See you in a bit.
Are you still looking for the perfect treats for training your horse? Grazer's NutriTreats are the high value reinforcer that's also forage based and totally safe for metabolic horses, even making the ECIR list. ECIR, in case you don't know, is the equine Cushing's and insulin resistant group, which manages the world's largest field trial database for horses with these conditions.
These are pocket-friendly treats. That means there's no crumbly mess, yet they're easy for your horse to chew and digest. They're also packed with electrolytes and probiotics with no added sugar, giving your horse the reinforcement he deserves.
Find your 5-pound bag today at equinebalancedsupport.com. Equinebalancedsupport.com.
Okay, we're about to do our wrap up. And what I remember the wrap up, what we're going to do is get the exercise and the homework for what you're going to do to work on for this kind of rather involved exercise. Training or trailer loading is a really involved multi-dimensional piece. But when it's done, it's amazing when they're so good and they love trailer loading. Okay. So hopefully too, in that process, you were sure to feed lots of food. And that is really an important part of this, is building that classic conditioning. And that means really using the positive reinforcement, using the food, which is so valuable and a primary reinforcement, to help overcome their worry about the trailers and things that can be aversive and scary. All righty. Okay. So there is still, I really was hoping we would get to doing the divider today, but I didn't feel like, I felt like Pito had really made a lot of progress with this piece. So we're going to piece it out a little bit further, and we're just going to deal with, wanted to end there because I thought it was brilliant. He did a good job. Didn't want to belabor the point until he's like, oh, this is too much. So we ended there. So let's talk about what you would do. So what I want you to do is, if your horse maybe wasn't going all the way up, because Pito is a bit of a star today. And a lot of times I try not to pick the superstars. I'd rather be struggling kind of along with the people that are in the hardest places with their horses still, or the horses having the hardest time. But Pito is a superstar. So I look like I'm a brilliant trainer, but it always doesn't go quite so well. So what we want to do is be sure that you can, if you need to spend more time where you creep right up on the other side with the open side, keep working on that side until it gets more confident and your horse will do it till you're eventually on the ground. Remember, just switching the side to the other side is actually a big shift in the context. And every time we shift context, we may lose criteria. So don't be surprised. Just help them out a little bit more and you can get up there a little bit and give them a point. They'll just end up kind of pushing their bodies over a little, but they'll straighten out. And so work on that until you get that pretty solid. So remember, get them when you go to the other side, when you can get them, get your horse loading up from the other side where you can get right to the door or the side and they'll load up. That's the time that you want to go ahead and put that divider straight so that you can close it up and get them going in now really to a straight load. If you have a slant load, this really isn't our issue yet. So don't worry about it. Just send him from further and further back until he can go and wait until you can run around and get to him and feed him at the window. So that's going to be our next little piece, and it shouldn't be that big a deal, but sometimes just that closing it in can be an association that they remember, and they think, oh, now this is all different. They can back out. Who cares? You just get back up there and ask them to come back in. Even if they start to back out, I'd run up to the front of my little two straight load and wait for them. And as you get back up there, feed them, and build up on that again, and they'll get there. It's just a little shift in things, but most horses are okay with that, but sometimes it might be a bigger thing for your horse. No big deal. You take the time and get that sorted out. When that is going well, if you can get the help of somebody else, what you can do is start to work on desensitizing the sounds of the locks a little bit, or the jimmying of the sounds in the back just a bit. But that's something I think we'll deal with a little bit more on our next piece too. We'll just address it before we talk about the unloading from the trailer. But I think that if you can just jimmy it, and even if it gets a little worried, in that point you can be up in the front with your horse, or whether it's up in the front or up in the window, depending on your style of trailer. And you can be up there, and as the horse, if he starts to back out a little bit, and now this will be quite normal, that if they hear the pieces, I don't even move anything. I just start to move like the clips and the latch and the rattling and the things that are kind of part of it. It's just that part going. And so if they hear that part and they may want to back out, I don't quit with the sound of the part. I keep this part still going, because if the part quits, the jiggling that may be aversive and worrisome, then they can think, I know how to make that stop. I back out. I want to say, no, this sound is just going to keep going. You can back out if you want. But if you're straight up at the front, keep the person jiggling the sound, keep them out of the way so they're not blocking the horse's path in or out, and then just look for them to come back in. Until pretty soon you'll see that they don't care about that at all. And that'll be something that they've learned that doesn't mean anything. So that's going to be the next piece you really want to work on. But when that's going good, then you can start working on doing the butt bar. You can swing that back and forth. Could be the next piece you jiggle. They can back out if they want to. Who cares? Just keep moving it. Let them back out. It just keeps going. And they go back up to the front. If you have a horse who's in, that would be straight load work until you can get the butt bar done. But for the butt bar in a two horse, I really like to have two people, because sometimes once it's shut, they can have a little kind of, uh-oh, I'm in here. If we've gone slow enough, it should be very mild. I can be up at the front and say, hey, back to your targeting. And as soon as they target, I have the person unhook it. So they learn that when they target and they focus, the butt bar goes away and that they can get back out. If they back out on their own, I just wait up there till they come back up. And then we kind of repeat that process till they learn that the butt bar doesn't mean that they're trapped in here. So with a two horse, this part is a little bit of a tricky part. So you really want to be sure they're comfortable. Use the target, point out the target. You can use a handheld target even if it's extra helpful, and remind them, we're just up here, we're okay. And if we lose a little ground with that, it's okay. Go back, remind them of those steps, and rebuild up to there again. Now, with a straight or the slant load, I find this part actually tends to be a little bit easier. I will have a lot of times have the person at the front. So I do try to go into two people if I can. So the person is at the front, and I will, a lot of times I'll have them be at the front because I want to be in charge of moving the divider, because I want to be able to sense all those little things. Sometimes people aren't as sensitive as we might be as we kind of getting more and more attuned with the little things that show us they're over threshold, that sometimes we're going to be a better read on our horses. So I will start, and I'll just start moving. Let's say the horse is lined up. He's in the slant load. He's at the window. I just start moving that divider 6 inches. So it's swinging 6 inches back and forth, just against the wall. That may be enough for the horse to want to go out. And I say, that's okay. You go out, you go back in. They'll come back in. And then I build that up until it actually can touch them. I may touch them with my hand first to remind them, until we can actually close that in a bit. Usually with the butt bar, I find it's a little more, I feel like the wall behind them is a little more settling typically, but doesn't mean that's going to be the case for everybody. So build up to that part nice and slow. It doesn't matter if it sets them back a little bit. Rebuild on the steps that you built it in the first place. And that's where I want you to go. So those are going to be things that you're going to work through and take your time. You know, it could be that this takes you a little bit longer. You're not ready in 2 weeks to go to the next part. And that, again, is okay. And I actually applaud you for being able to take it slower and just going, he's not ready, and that's okay, because this is his reality. And if this is fearful and this is scary, no matter how much we want to rationalize it, it is their reality and it is their genuine fear. So we need to respect that and say that's okay, but we need to rebalance that and make sure that we can use that. We utilize the positive reinforcement, a strong positive reinforcement like food, to rebalance their emotions. And keep in mind, as we get, we're going to depend on the food a bit through this process, because there's so many elements. But pretty soon, like my horse Mint, he just loves loading in the trailer. He doesn't remember why he likes loading in the trailer. It just makes him feel good, because the endorphins and dopamines have been a part of this process, and he just likes it. He doesn't remember why. He loads without food. No sweat. So we will eventually get to the point where we don't use the targets and the clicker and the food and all that part. But for now, as we're really trying to change the emotions and make sure this event, which can have a lot of scary components, is actually quite good. So we want to use the food to do that. We really want to build that. There's going to be a point where they tolerate it, or they kind of just start to like it. But those scales have barely tipped in our direction. We want to keep going till they really love it, so that we can kind of override some little blips in the screen. We're like, oh, okay, I'm back. I love the trailer. It's a safe, good feeling for them. Anyway, so that is your homework. I know this is actually probably the biggest homework we've ever had, because there's a lot of pieces there, but I know by now you guys are going to nail this. You guys are doing great, and you are going to work this out brilliantly. So I trust you. And if you have any problems, like I said, you just go slow. You go back and listen. If you need to listen to the episode 13 again, you go back and do that. If you need to go all the way back and listen to stationary targeting, you go back and do that. I think that's lesson 4, if I'm not mistaken, which I might be. But anyway, so I think that that is great. So I want you to work on that.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, creating a willing, engaged partner is a journey, and we're here to be your guides.
If you want to move the needle in your training, if you need help troubleshooting a tricky behavior, or just want a supportive community, check out the Shauna Karish Equine Membership. It's the best way to get direct access to our expertise, all of our training content, and the answers you need.
Head on over to shaunakarish.com now to learn more and to start your free trial.
Okay, until next time, you enjoy getting your horse on target and on the trailer. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.